الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
مدينه کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ دلے افسردہ بدن لرزیدہ
کتابه ولا شریعة بعد شریعة اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وهو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in last week's talk we had made mention of certain distinctive features of the month of Ramadan, including the benefits of fasting, the distinctive aspects of fasting, and also Ramadan as a month of drawing closer towards Almighty Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also in a hadith divided and categorized Ramadan, and he said, this is a month, أوله رحمة وعوسته مغفرة وآخره عتق من النيران, أو كما قال, this is a month, the first 10 days which brings Allah Ta'ala's mercy. The specific qualities of the first 10 days is gaining Allah's mercy. The second 10 days is gaining the forgiveness from Almighty Allah. And the third 10 days is getting emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. Now, keeping in mind that this, we are going into the 10 days of seeking forgiveness for our sins, I thought it appropriate that we should speak on this subject today. We also got to keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the capacity to do righteous and evil deeds. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have inspired good and bad in human beings. And it is this capacity to do sin that distinguishes human being in a way, in the sense that if there is no capacity for sin, there would be no credit and no reward for staying away from sin. If there is no capacity to do wrong, there would be no reward for staying away from sin. A blind person, if he comes in front of someone and said, I didn't look at no strange woman today. Now what kamal and what perfection it is, he doesn't have the capacity to look at strange women. So there is no reward for him for saying such a thing. The capacity and the reward comes that you have the capacity, but after having the capacity, you stay away from that on your own volition and your own option. And that is the greatness of human being, that he has the capacity, and yet if he chooses it correctly, he stays away from that wrong. Therefore, Allama Iqbal has also made mention of this in one of his poems when he said, Dard dil ke waste paida kiya insaan ko, warna taat ke liye kuch kam na the kurubiya. It is for this reason that Allah Ta'ala has created human beings. Otherwise, if it is only to obey Allah, then the malaika and the angels did not fall short of that. There was no shortage of the malaika making ibadat of Almighty Allah. It is for this that human being has a capacity, but he then, despite having that capacity, he chooses to stay away from sin. Now, after understanding this, we also know that human beings sometimes commit guna and sin. Whether it be because of weakness, whether it be for other reasons, he commits sins. Now, sin is no ordinary matter. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say that for a mu'min and a believer to commit sin is as difficult as sitting underneath a mountain with a fear that a rock or a boulder could any time come upon you. That is how serious sin is. And he says for a transgressor, sin is an ordinary matter. For him it is like a fly sitting on his face and he brushes away the fly with his hand. That is how ordinary he regards the sin. So a mu'min does not regard sin as lightly. It has disastrous consequences upon his spirituality. And part of that is, Nabi Karim SAW has told us that your heart becomes enveloped and it becomes dark. It cannot distinguish between right and wrong. It could lead you to the fire of Jahannam. Now, if this is the consequence of sin, and if a person out of human weakness sins, what is the recourse? Does he have any recourse in anything? It is our beloved Allah that has come to our rescue, to the rescue of all the sinners of the world. When through the means of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has given us this command, for everything there is a cure. And the cure for sinning is to ask Allah's forgiveness. The cure for sinning is to make istighfar and tawbah. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, كلكم خطاعون وخير الخطاعين التوابون المستغفرون أو كما قال. That each and every human being to an extent is a sinner. Other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who are free from sins, or the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who are by and large protected from sin. Otherwise, ordinary human beings like you and I, we each and every one to different extents, we are sinners. But the best of sinners are those who after sinning, they repent and they turn towards Almighty Allah, seeking the forgiveness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana Taqi Usmani makes mention of an incident and draw a parallel and an example in this incident. He say he went somewhere to a tourist spot, and it was a very hilly, it was a very beautiful orchard and garden at that place. And there was one flower that was very attractive. It was so attractive that it was actually inviting people to touch and see that flower. He took his hand to touch that flower when the tour guide said, don't touch that flower, it is poisonous. He said, it is poisonous if you're going to touch it. Despite its attractive package, it is poisonous. And many times guna also comes in such attractive packages. It looks very enticing, but when you touch it, you get caught in Allah Ta'ala's wrath and anger. He said, after that, the guy told him, he said, however, if you touch it, there is a flower that is normally next to this flower, which is an antidote to the poison of this flower. That if you touch this flower and you touch another flower, this will be an antidote for the poison of this flower. Then he says in a similar manner, that the sinning is a disease. And the antidote for that is to make tawbah in front of Almighty Allah. Is to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for the wrong that we've done. And if you do tawbah and istighfar in the correct manner, in the proper manner, then again your heart glitters with iman. Then again you are capable of coming in the court of Almighty Allah and coming closer towards Almighty Allah. This is the ni'mat and the great favor Allah has bestowed upon us. Now after understanding this, let us say that what is the difference between tawbah and istighfar? Istighfar means the amal and the act of seeking Allah's forgiveness for the wrong that we have done. That is istighfar. Tawbah is the consequences of that. The consequences of that is you shun the evil that you have done, you repent and you turn towards Almighty Allah. Although both these words, istighfar and tawbah, are at times used synonymously for one another. It is used synonymously for one another, but from the definition point of view, istighfar is seeking forgiveness. Tawbah is the consequence of that seeking forgiveness, where you turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you turn away from the evil that you were doing previously. Now, there are certain conditions for our forgiveness to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our request for forgiveness to be accepted by Allah. The first of which is to confess and to admit to the sin and the wrong that we have done. Now this is much more important than what it ordinarily or at first hand seems. Because if you do not regard the action that you are doing to be wrong, then you will not have the ability, you will not have the tawfiq to go and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And that is a problem. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a. Oh Allah, let me see truth as truth, and then give me the ability to follow it. Wa arina al-batil a-batil, let me see wrong and falsehood as false, and then give me the ability to stay away from it. And wallah, this is such a great thing. And you know, many a times our ulama have said, and today we are living in a world where practically you can create an argument to justify almost anything. They even go to the extent of justifying abortion, the taking of a life of an innocent. And the arguments are there, they've got books written, they've got pamphlets written. So we are living in a world today where you can practically justify anything. So therefore it is of great importance that the first step that we do in asking Allah for forgiveness for the wrong is we confess and we admit to the wrong that we have done. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran makes mention of a very distressful state of a human being. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Do you know who is the greatest loser in terms of his deeds? It is that person who is doing wrong, but despite him doing wrong, he feels and he thinks that he is on the right path. So the first step is we confess. Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that there is hope for a person who sins out of human weakness. It is not justified, but there is hope. Out of human weakness, you sin, and then you confess, there is still hope for your reconciliation. There is still hope that Allah will forgive you. But there is no hope for a person who sins out of arrogance and justifies the wrong that he does. There is no hope for him. Allah won't forgive such a person. So that is the first thing. The second thing is, the ulama have said is, that you must have genuine regret over the wrong that you have done. In many ways, this is the essence of tawbah. This is the essence of seeking Allah's forgiveness, is to have a genuine regret and a sincere type of shame over the wrong that you have done. You don't take pride with regard to what you have done. You know, you don't take this pride that I have done this, and you know, I have committed this murder, I told this person, I committed this backbiting. Now that is not any type of shame and regret over the wrong that you have done. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, amongst the worst type of people is that person who does wrong in the darkness of the night, it's not justified, but then Allah conceals his faults, but he goes and reveal it to other people. He goes and make and boast, I did this last night, and it was wrong. You see, so this is something that we've got to stay away from and keep away from. That second condition with regard to tawbah and istighfar is a sincere regret. In fact, a hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tawbatu an-nadam. That the essence of tawbah is regret over the wrong that you have done. This is the second thing. The third thing is talafi al-mafat. The ulama have said what it means is that the wrong that you have done, if it can be in any way, you can undo that wrong, or you can try and rectify it, or amend it, you should amend it. Talafi al-mafat. That is the third reason which the ulama have said is by seeking forgiveness and a condition for seeking forgiveness and your forgiveness to be accepted. Like for example, you have not performed, you have not given zakat and charity. Now you can ask Allah to forgive you for that, but then you make amends by paying that zakat. You have not performed your salat and you ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. But together with the forgiveness, you start taking steps to amend that non-performance of your salat. That this is goes in both ways. It goes in huququl ibad and it goes in huququllah. If you have backbited someone, and after backbiting someone, you ask Allah for forgiveness, the sin that is attached to the rights of Allah, inshallah, Allah will forgive you. But there is also another dimension to that sin, and that is attached to the rights of someone else, going asking for forgiveness. Now if you have stolen someone's money, after stealing someone's money, you ask Allah for forgiveness. Now there is only one aspect of the forgiveness is to that aspect which is attached to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what about making amends of that and giving it back to the person? Without doing that, you would not be able to gain forgiveness for the wrong that you have done. And many a times people, they feel and say that, well, we asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, that means all the shady dealings, all the usurping of the rights of someone, all of that get wiped away. No, it doesn't get wiped away until you go and return it. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, the very famous scholar, used to say, and it is an eye-opener, this statement. He say, I feel it better to give one dirham back to his rightful owner than to give 600,000 dirhams in sadaqah and charity. He says it's better to give one dirham back to its rightful owner and then to give 600,000 dirhams in charity. He says go and pay your debts first, then go and give charity. That there is of greater importance. And he say, even if you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, until you don't go and pay back the wrong that you have done to people, the usurping of their rights, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the person does not give you, forgive you, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive you. That is why Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, I mean, we know the greatness of the scholar from India. Towards the end of his life, he published small type of pamphlets, Al-Udhar wa Nadhar. And in that pamphlet, he asked all his disciples for forgiveness. He said, if I have done anything wrong to you, if I had said anything that has hurt your feeling, I ask you to forgive me. And this comes from the Sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because it is written in the biography of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that just a week or two prior to the death of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the minbar and he told the Sahaba, if I have done wrong to anyone, then let him come and claim it from me now. Either he can forgive me or either he can take revenge. Now, there was one Sahabi who felt this was an opportune way to come closer to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, one day you hit me on my bare back and I would like to take revenge. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are sure that I have done so, then I am prepared because I don't want anything to happen in the year after. I am prepared that you must hit me back in return. And then he was about to hit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then he said, no, Prophet of Almighty Allah, when you beat me up, I didn't have my kurta on. You also have to remove your kurta. And the Sahaba were fuming and getting angry, but he had another intention. And when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened up his kurta, he hugged Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he kissed the seal of prophethood, which was between the two shoulder blades of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what we're trying to say is that concern that after you have done wrong is to seek to make amends with regard to that wrong. And the fourth thing is, the ulama have said, is to resolve that you would not go near that sin again. Now this resolving is also very important. Now many people will say, yes, by the time we make dua, we ask Allah Ta'ala that we inshallah we will not do that sin, but we are human beings after all. We still go back and we still ask and we still get involved in that wrong. The ulama said, at least at the time of making tawbah, have the resolve. Be firm in that resolve. Baza baza harache hasti baza gar kafiro gabro but parasti baza agar sab bar toba shakisti baza. The Persian poet said, come closer towards Almighty Allah. Even if you have done wrong, come closer towards Almighty Allah. If you have committed kufr, if you have committed grave worshipping, come closer towards Almighty Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. If you have broken your toba 100 times, come again to Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. But at least at that time you must have a resolve that inshallah you won't go near it. Hazrat Mu'adh Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi's Khalifa one day was telling people, he said, people make Islam complicated. He say, resolve that every day before you sleep, you are going to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for the wrong that you have done in the day. So he said, one of the students asked him, he said, what about the resolving? What about resolving that you won't do it again? So he said, make dua when you're asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Oh Allah, I resolve that I won't do it again. But if I'm a human being, I get tempted, I do the wrong again, then Ya Allah, you make it easy for me to remain committed on the resolve that I have made mention of and I have undertaken in front of you. Make mention of that also. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will accept that also, provided you come closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in conclusion, let me also make mention, the ulama have said that tawbah and forgiveness is the first step of reformation. Now many people in Ramadan, they have these lofty ideals and lofty type of ambitions that inshallah we are going to change our life. The ulama have said the first step towards changing of our life is to cry before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wrong that you have done. And if you do so, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will turn towards you with forgiveness. The second thing is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to istighfar and tawbah as part of the two protections Allah has given us to save ourselves from the punishment of Almighty Allah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made mention of this, recited the ayat in the 9th juz of the Holy Quran. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. The one protection from the adab of Allah, unfortunately we don't have it. Allah Ta'ala says, I would not punish the ummah, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, when you are with them. وما كان الله معذبهم, but the second means of protection from Allah's adab, you and I have it within our capacity. Allah says, I won't punish you and I won't punish the ummah when they are seeking forgiveness from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ulama have said that we must never be despondent with regard to the fact that Allah ta'ala, we are so gunegar and we are so sinful, Allah ta'ala won't accept our forgiveness and Allah won't turn towards us with forgiveness. It comes in a hadith that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says, لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبَكَ عَنَانُ السَّمَاءَ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفُرِينِ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفِرُونِ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ. That Allah ta'ala says that even if your sins reaches the amount of the foam that emanates from the ocean, and then you ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, there is very seldom anyone can commit that type of guna. That amount of foam that comes out. I mean, if you were to just stand in one portion of a beach and see the amount of foam that emanates, here the hadith says if your guna and sin reaches the amount of foam that emanates from all the oceans of the world, and then you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, provided you are sincere, قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكْ, my Allah says that I would definitely forgive you, provided you are sincere in repentance. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, those who have done wrong unto them, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Can you just for a moment think about this ayat? Allah is not addressing the believers. Allah is not addressing His favorite bondsmen. Allah is not addressing those who are close to Him. Allah is addressing those people who have transgressed His commands, who are worthy of divine punishment, who are worthy of divine wrath and anger. Now you and I, if we were any time angry with our small child, or we are angry with someone, that anger would manifest in the way we address him. We will say, just leave me alone for the time being. You have made me angry, just leave me now. You know, many a times we will speak to our children in that way. I mean, just go. You're not prepared to listen to me. Just leave me alone. Allah is addressing those who have violated His command. And how does He address them? Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala. Oh my bondsmen who have transgressed. Look at the PR. Look at the love that Allah addresses those who have done wrong. Ya ibadi. Oh my bondsmen who have done wrong. Don't lose hope of my mercy. I would forgive you, provided you are sincere in your repentance and seeking forgiveness. We are coming to the next 10 days where Allah Ta'ala has promised us that He would forgive our sins. Do not let us allow this opportunity to go by without having our sins forgiven. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.